Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is the Naked Gaming Podcast with me, Lee Milner, and that's where you say your name.
Oh, is this my bit?
That's your bit.
Chris Barrow. Hello.
Hello.
First things first, we already know that you're obsessed with Beat Saber, but you played Beat Saber against random people on the internet the other
day. Yeah.
How was that?
So did you ever play Guitar Hero?
Oh, obsession. My obsession was Guitar Hero.
Okay. So it was literally like playing Guitar Hero against other people, and you can kind of see other like avatars in the background whilst you're trying to like get the moves,
slash the blocks as they come up to you. And did it make it better or worse, or were you not bothered?
Well, I won every single time. I came first every single time, so obviously I was playing against children.
but the important point is that you destroyed those children.
But yeah, you know, it's good because it brings a certain you know, a bit of more competition to it. So, no, it's good. And also, I couldn't figure out how to, like, change the music, though.
So you just get what you're given kind of thing.
Yeah, but luckily I liked what I was given.
Yeah.
Story of my life.
Skrillex. Luckily, you like what you're given. That's fortunate for me, anyway.
But no, it's good. It's good. I'd definitely try online again.
I've finished Mass Effect Legendary. Do you know, I've added
finally
up 100 hours. Emotional experience.
That's why I haven't seen you.
It's three games, though. I mean, come on.
Right.
Unfortunately for you, there's another Mass Effect game.
No!
Mass Effect Andromeda. I think it's very underrated. I like it. And it runs fast on the PS5, even though it hasn't been upgraded to the next level PlayStations anyway. That's my...
What makes it amazing? Why do you like it so much?
What happens is you're launched into another galaxy, and it takes 600 years to get there. So there's all the
quite literally,
yeah, all the humans are asleep, and they travel for 600 years at light speed, and then you get woken up, and everything is completely messed up. Like all the planets that you've traveled there to go to, you know, the Golden Worlds, they're all terrible. There's like problems with everything. All the leadership have died. It's great.
Wow, wow, that says a lot about you.
Anyway, last month you rode a bike in the name of gaming.
The beats appear in each lane, so I'm moving my knob from left to right, trying to hit those beats.
So this time, Chris heads into the metaverse.
Weirdest experience of my life. Also, Alex, the Colossus Rhodes,
love it,
is stepping into the wrestling ring once again.
I think it was 2K20 or maybe 2K21, which was basically unplayable. Bugs out the wazoo. It looked terrible. Oh, kick out. There we go.
Remember, we're on Twitter. You can catch us at Naked Gaming Pod.
And Instagram, apparently.
Insta.
You can tell that I use it so much. Well, the news is here now, and there's just a heck of a lot to go through. So here's Lee doing her best news voice.
First, it was the next generation of consoles, and now there's a worldwide shortage of Xbox controllers. Microsoft have issued a statement saying, "We know it may be hard finding Xbox wireless controllers right now due to supply disruptions." They say they're working as fast as possible with our manufacturing and retail partners to improve this. The developer of the newly released Sonic Origins has criticised Sega after a rocky launch of the remastered collection. Simon Tomley took to Twitter to vent his frustrations, alleging that Sega introduced wild bugs into the game. France's language watchdog has told government officials to use French gaming terms instead of English ones. The Académie Française says jeux vidéo de compétition should replace esports, and streamer should become jouer, animateur, and direct. To celebrate Fall Guys going free on the Epic Store, the game's marketing team organised a bizarre marketing stunt in Skegness. The official Fall Guys bench. They held an official unveiling ceremony with the actual mayor of Skegness, Tony Tye.
I mean, that's money well spent, isn't it?
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I must say that Fall Guys' online marketing team are very funny.
I love it.
They spent a lot of effort on that ridiculous
I like the big video. Inflatable costumes they have as well. And they're running around Skegness.
I like the fact that you spoke French then.
Did you like that? I gave my très bueno.
Close.
Now, you've been finding out all about the metaverse, haven't you?
Well, it's going to be the future, I think.
Exactly what it's like at the moment, what it's, you know, you've been going to these kind of events as well, haven't you? On a platform, is it called Altspace?
Yeah, it's like an entry point to get into the metaverse.
Okay, and you use that, you kind of get into that by using our Oculus Quest, which I absolutely love, obviously.
That's why I had to borrow it for a
bit. No, I was looking for it the other day. So basically, I was blocked out of playing Beat Saber for a couple of hours while you were doing this.
Right, headset on. Let's get this Oculus up and running. First of all, I need to get the Altspace app on my Oculus. So I'm just typing that into the browser now. Download now. Oh, so it's free. Gather with people on every major VR headset, attend hundreds of events every month, like open mic nights, improv comedy, and meditation. It says I have to sign away all of my diagnostics, whatever that means. Okay, so I've made my way into this campfire area. There's a moderator over there who I've just had a quick chat with called Rosina, who's told me how the controls work and things like that. So I'm looking around and I can see... Well, the first thing that's immediately obvious is that there's a massive planet in the sky with a rainbow over it. So it's not the most realistic of worlds. There's trees in all different colours. There's red, yellow, green, orange. It's like an autumn setting here. Not loads of people in at the moment. Apparently, Rosina says it's quieter on the weekends. Now, this is like a hangout space where you can just chat to people. I might just go over and eavesdrop on Rosina's conversation with a few other people who are in here. Hello. Sorry, I've unmuted myself. Hello.
Hello.
So every player in Altspace has the ability to build their own little home or kind of house area using a special program called Unity. And Rosina agreed to let me visit her house. So I arrived by teleport and there were sofas, a TV playing in the corner and not one, but two pool tables. Well, of course, I couldn't resist having a go. Oh, I missed. Oh, I've hit the side.
That's it. Excuse my control.
You've gone for a cheeky double there. You nearly got it in. That was a pretty good shot. But one of us is going to have to get one in here. Oh, good shot, Rosina. Good shot. You've played this before. So tell me a bit about moderating, you know, looking after people in online spaces. That's your job. How long have you been doing this for? Because it's such an unusual setting to be doing it in.
So I've done moderating in the campfire only about 3 months. I've had my headset and Altspace for 14 months.
And you must meet all sorts of people. I just noticed in the campfire, you know, it's like a hangout space. I get there's all sorts of characters, probably from all over the world.
Yeah, everyone from over the world has done there. You would never obviously imagine to meet in real life, so it's amazing.
Oh, your cats are there. What are your cats called?
The black and white one's Molly.
Can I stroke the VR cat?
You can pick it up.
Hello, Kitty. Ah, how do I gently put the cat down on the ground without...
You can just let go of your... Oh,
you've got the cat now. Okay, I've given it back to you. So that was a very unusual experience. I travelled into the metaverse and went to a sort of central holding area, which was very colourful, and then I met the moderator, and from that point it seems like you're able to transfer into different areas. A bit like the film Wreck-It Ralph. Have you seen that, where you can transfer into different worlds? Anyway, we went off and played a game of pool. Rosina, the professional, managed to beat me in the end. So, yeah, this could be the future. There's other events. There's a VR church, which is running concurrently with this as well. Lots of different games that are available. It's a strange new world.
Wow, that's amazing. Did it feel like reality?
No, it felt like something brand new.
That's exciting.
It is exciting, but it's at the moment it's a bit too weird.
Right,
like
okay.
The sort of people who have Oculus headsets who want to go and hang out by the campfire in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to be a certain kind of person to want to do that, I think, at this point in time. It's not mainstream enough. That you couldn't go and make new friends at the moment, I don't feel.
What scares me about it is that you kind of go into this metaverse, and because you can't actually see who they are, you could be talking to an absolute stranger.
Well, you are, by definition.
Who, let's face it, could be dangerous or might just be a normal person. You don't know. You don't know because you can't see them. Like, is it regulated at all?
As far as I understand, it's only the alt space, you know, they have their moderators in the game and they regulate it. But I was also told in that game that you could get a toy gun and aim it at other avatars. And I sort of thought, well, hang on a second, you've told me that young people, like 13-year-olds, are using this quite a lot. I don't know.
Because listening to you as well, it seemed quite easy to get in. You didn't have to kind of like show any identification or anything like that.
I made up an email address.
Well, there you
to
are.
Log in.
So you could make up your name, your age, your address, like, you know. So
chrisbarrow123@hotmail.com. Don't email it.
I'm going to say, let's be more. Do you think I should give it a go?
Yeah, I'd like to know what you think. Maybe you should have a go, but maybe not at the yoga. That was
Why don't
weird.
I review this for the next podcast?
Okay, yeah, I'd be interested in your thoughts.
Okay.
Stop kidding around, Snake. Snake!
Let's do some new games now, and this one is free to play on the mobile, although you can get it on PC now, Diablo Immortal.
The World Stone. It was the power of creation and the birth of our eternal conflict. From the high heavens to the burning hells, our desire to control that power poisoned its very nature. And so, I gave my life to destroy it.
You know that game where you keep saying, what is it that you're so obsessed with on your phone?
You are constantly on it.
That's what this one is. So, Diablo was a game I used to be obsessed with. I think it was Diablo 2.
Mm-hmm.
And you could play multiplayer, four players.
What did you play it on?
On a PlayStation. I used to get one of my brothers to play with me, and we'd go and kill all these little minions, and you'd defeat it, you know, there's 10 levels, and then you play it again and keep it going again and again and again. It was very grinding away.
Yeah.
Again, right. So this is on the phone, and it's 9 gigabytes to download to begin. So it took about sort of 20 minutes to actually get it up and running. In the opening credits, it has subtitles, because when people play on their phone, they don't always have the volume on.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this epic music, and then in brackets it said, ominous orchestral music. It's like a subtitle, which was so funny. And you start off, it takes quite a while to get into it. So you're playing on your own and you're killing all these monsters. It's a bit like a dungeon, you know, you feel like you're in dungeons and you're exploring the world and stuff like that. And then suddenly it opens up into a multiplayer world. So a bit like World of Warcraft, there's other random people in the game.
Wow.
And you can team up with them in teams of 4 or in teams of 8.
That's cool.
You can all complete the same objectives.
So it is an online game. You are playing.
You play it online. You have to play it online. There's solo bits of it, but it was, for a free game, absolutely amazing. I mean, it's as good as the Diablo 2 that I used to play as a kid.
Because you're constantly on it all the time.
So you get to level 60, which takes as long as it takes about a week for me to get to level 60, and that's playing it a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
So you get to like level 20, and then it takes ages to get to level 21. And then you like launch yourself up again. And then you get to level 50. And it takes ages to get to level 51. And it felt like a real chore to get through those points in the game. It wasn't like a smooth progression upwards.
Right.
And also they've got this thing where you have to spend a lot of real money if you want the very best weapons. So you can get lots of free stuff.
I hate that.
But then there's all the microtransactions.
I hate it when they do that.
And towards the end of the game, once you complete the story, you can then start again at level 1. But it's like level 1 plus. And then you can get to 60.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, it becomes a grind. And it becomes boring, and then you have to spend money in order to.
So wait, have you finished with it now?
I'm done with the game now.
Oh, thank God.
So I'm prepared to talk to you again. But what I would say is, for free, play it to level 60, and you will have a hell of a lot of fun. Hell. A hell of a lot of fun. And up until that point, it's an 8 out of 10. It's really, really good.
But then stop.
But then just stop. Put it down and walk away. Diablo Immortal is free on Apple devices and you can play it on PC, but don't spend any money.
Busy night, but there's always room for another.
Now, Alex, the Colossus Rhodes is back.
Hello, Chris and Lee. It's Alex here, back for another month. I'm trying something a little bit different this month. So I'm trialing the new PlayStation Network system that they've come up with. And it's their sort of way of combating Xbox's Game Pass. They've kind of got rid of PSN instead of paying two monthly fees. So one for multiplayer and one for the sort of PlayStation back catalogue. They're both together now, both combined. You can do different tiers. I've got the premium. It gives you a sort of, yeah, a decent catalogue of games you can play and download. And also, what's new is you can also do free trials of some of the big games that have recently come out. So sort of a try before you buy. Remember the demo discs you used to get with gaming magazines? It's kind of like that. So I've picked the new WWE game, the latest one, 2K22. And I've opened it. Take a listen. That's right. You can't hear anything at the moment. There is zero background music on the title screen. So when you open it, it says, okay, you've got 2 hours. And then, you know, it's the end of your free trial. So I thought, okay, they'll give you 2 hours to play, have a crack at the whole game. And then after that, boot you out and say, okay, you're going to have to buy the real one if you want to play more. Wrong. They have sort of come up with like a demo version. You can only pick one type of match, singles, one-on-one. You can't pick any of like Money in the Bank or Hell in a Cell or any of the sort of jazzy, cool things. There's four men to pick from and four women to pick from. Interestingly, Sasha Banks, who's one of the women you could pick from, is now apparently fired from WWE. So that's aged really well. And so, okay, I'm going to pick Roman Reigns and I'll face off against Big E Langston, who's also out with a broken neck. So again, two of the characters, of the eight characters available in the demo, don't actually wrestle for WWE at the moment. Okay, here we go. Another great thing about the demo, a sort of underwhelming thing about the demo mode, it just chucks you straight into the match. Yeah, no entrances. If you can hear that, no commentary. The graphics are looking pretty good. The 2K wrestling games have got a pretty bad reputation and it's pretty well deserved. Basically, Ukes went bust and THQ went bust, which were kind of the wrestling powerhouses of these games. And then, yeah, the 2K sort of ones took over. And they've kind of been defined by really bad graphics coupled with even worse gameplay. I think it was 2K20 or maybe 2K21, which was basically unplayable. Bugs out the wazoo. It looked terrible. Oh, kick out. There we go. It looked rubbish. The gameplay systems were really bad. So let's see if this one's any better. I'm currently getting my butt kicked at the moment. So in the top left corner, there's sort of a star ranking system. It's a weird kind of meta game in that it kind of acknowledges that wrestling isn't real and you want to get a kind of 5-star rating. So the way to do that is to do a variety of moves and not spam the same move over and over again. Because like a real wrestling match, that would get quite boring. Oh no, I'm being pinned. Kick out, kick out. Oh, you got to mash X to kick out the pin. Obviously, as that gets harder, the more beaten up you get. So no commentary. So no sort of atmosphere in these games, in this demo. You get a limited choice of wrestlers. You can only do singles matches, which has obviously been happening in wrestling games since the N64. You know, I don't think the people at 2K understand that the point of these demos is to try and sell the game. So, you know, I'm supposed to come away from this thinking, wow, that was really good. I really want to download the game. I'm supposed to have 2 hours of fun and think, wow, I really must play more. I must play £60, by the way, for this full game. Oh, I'm pinned. That's it. It just cuts to the end. It doesn't show the replay of what happened during the match, what it used to do in some of the old games. So either that's gone or not included in the demo. It looks a lot better. Yeah, the gameplay seems to work a bit better, but come on, give us something. Why am I paying this, you know, why? What's the point in paying this premium thing if I'm going to get a demo that isn't really worth the paper it's printed on? So yeah, I don't even really want to finish this. That's about it for me, Chris and Lee. This game's really not doing much to win me round. Maybe the full game's great. If it is, there's no way of knowing without just buying it, without taking the risk of just, oh yeah, they've made another rubbish game.
Bless him. Well, but thanks, Alex.
What was funny was I emailed the company ages ago and I said, can we review this game? And they totally blanked me. But now that it's free, Alex was like, yes,
yay!
I will play it. Thank you, Alex. I've never done this before. I think we should review these games side by side at the same time. It's a simultaneous review.
Okay.
So, Mario Strikers Battle League Football and Nintendo Switch Sports.
Prepare for Strike, a 5-on-5 sport like soccer that's way heavy on offense. Aim for goals by dribbling and passing to teammates, as well as by using tackles. items, and crushing special shots.
Tennis. Rally by gently swinging the Joy-Con controller at the right time. Bowling. Roll the ball straight ahead or give it a little curve. And Chambara. Knock your opponent off the platform while attacking and defending.
Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with Mario.
Okay. The reason I want to review these together, you know Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games?
Yeah.
That we played with your parents? And we had the archery and the running games and the rugby. Do you remember we played the rugby?
Yeah.
And there's tennis on there.
Yeah.
You get like about 30 different games that you can play. So Mario Strikers Battle League Football is like...
That's a very long title.
Yeah. It's like one of the 30 games of the Olympic
Games.
Yeah, game.
Yeah.
So it's four on four. You can play with people. You can play online. It's a very non-realistic football game. Fair enough. But it's just like a 30th of the Olympic Games game. Mm. See what I mean?
Mm.
And for £50, that is absolutely ridiculous.
You might as well just get kind of the other... The
Mario
Olympic,
and Sonic, yeah. Now, Nintendo Switch Sports is not as good as Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games
either. So
these
are two really rubbish games, basically.
Poor graphics, very limited sports. You've got, you know, tennis.
Mm.
They haven't bothered to put in any graphical input at all. And the controls are just very, very average. So I would say... Don't buy either of those games.
Save yourself £100. No. How much is the Nintendo Switch?
So the Switch Sports is £30.
All right. Save yourself £80 then.
Yeah. And get Mario and Sonic at Olympic Games. Or better yet, get the Oculus and play any of their games because they're much better controls and much more interactive. It's Retro Revival time.
My favourite time.
You love Streets of Rage 4, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, that team have made... another game.
What?
When I was a kid, I thought it was Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtles. But they're Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Obviously.
It wasn't obvious to me as a child. I was 10. I loved it.
Michelangelo was my favourite.
Yeah, now, everyone's got their favourite turtles. So you're Michelangelo. Mm. I like Leonardo. No, he's not called. Is he called Leonardo?
Yeah, it's Leonardo.
The one with a big long pole.
I think that you're not talking about turtles. Yeah.
And in this game, you can play as all of the turtles and you can play as... I can't remember the female character from the TV series, but this whole thing was inspired by the original TV series from 1987.
Wow.
Did you watch that, the cartoon?
Yeah.
So, the original voice actors are in this game.
What?
The actual turtle voices.
That's cool.
Which is really cool.
I like that.
So, like Streets of Rage 4, you get life from eating pizza.
Mm-hmm. That's literally my life.
The moves are kind of very similar. I was playing on the easiest mode, but it was quite hard, a bit like Streets of Rage.
The graphics are very much like Streets of Rage, aren't they, as well?
Yeah, that classic pixel art style.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of frame rate drop in the skateboarding level, like it was a little bit juttery. But apart from that, it's so much fun. Co-op is the best. You can play online with people. It's only £22.
Yeah, it's good for those people that just loved, you know, the TV series and used to play it. Is it on Sega or was it PlayStation?
They've done lots of games before.
Yeah, you know, it's that, well, Retro Revival. It's a perfect game for that. What would you give it out of 10?
Oh, it's a 9. They just know exactly what they're doing, this team. And also it's out on PlayStation, Xbox, Windows and Switch.
So if you... have a wander over to the App Store and type brain training, you kind of get loads and loads and loads of games to download, okay?
It's very popular, isn't
it? Yeah. Loads of people want to do it these days. But while you're kind of playing for fun, it's also good for your brain as well. You know, I keep telling my dad he needs to do these sort of things.
Get on these games.
Yeah, he really does.
Well, that's what people think though, isn't it? But actually, it's not necessarily true that these games are helping your brain.
Anya Pahor from the University of California, Riverside, set out to test who is really, and I mean actually, benefiting from brain training. Julia Ravey gave the game designed for their experiments a go.
So what I have to do is I'm a little astronaut that's running through the world and I've got to collect gems. And I can only collect a gem if the gem that I've seen before it is identical to it, which requires me to keep in my mind what that first gem was. Oh, so now I've got to remember 3 gems in a row, which is a blue circle, a pink diamond, and a green triangle. So the next gem I come across, if it's not a blue circle, because that's 3 gems back, I'm not allowed to take it. So the next gem I need to pick up, if it's a blue one, I can pick it up. Yep. Blue. Next one needs to be a pink gem. Blue, pink, green. Pink. Yep. And if this is green, it's yellow. Not going to go for it. Oh, I completed the level. So I'm playing this memory recall game, and this is being used in a study to test if brain training games are actually impacting our transferable skills outside the game. Because it's important to differentiate if I'm just going to get really good at this one game, or is it that my memory is actually improving? Because at the minute, evidence for brain training games being able to increase cognitive skills is still lacking.
Almost everyone has an app that is mentally challenging. Some of them are for fun. But the claims that some of these apps have made are that you will not only improve on the game or in the app itself, but it might transfer to other areas of your life. So you might be able to focus better at work. This is what scientists call far transfer. This, however, is somewhat questionable, and inconsistent findings have been reported in the literature. We need to be careful when evaluating these types of apps to see what they are promising.
How have you tried to better understand if these games train our brains?
We developed an app in our lab, and we've been testing for years, and we've been running participants in our lab and trying to figure out which features of our working memory training app work and which don't. And we conducted three experiments with almost 500 people and basically repeatedly showed that if someone improves on the main training task, but is not able to perform equally well on the same type of task, but with these different memory objects, then they are unlikely to show improvements in a different context or in a different task. This finding is fairly straightforward, but it can help resolve some of the controversies in the field, which has shown these inconsistent findings regarding the effectiveness of brain training. In our labs, instead of asking the question, does brain training work, and just averaging over large groups of people, we are trying to figure out how brain training works and for whom.
And is the opposite of that true as well? So say if someone was good at a word game and then they were also, they had this near transfer of being good at another word game, they'd have better far transfer as well.
Yeah, this is what our findings would support. So if they can apply what they've learned to a similar task, then they're more likely to show far transfer as well.
And do we know who these people are who have these better transferable skills? Do they have anything in common?
So we haven't looked at that data yet, but we are planning to examine that in the future.
So how are you planning to expand your research into brain training games using bigger populations?
We have recently actually launched a large-scale citizen science study that aims to recruit 30,000 individuals. We are including many different training conditions and games, and we will be trying to figure out which types of games work best for which groups of people. And we can only do this when we have a very large and a diverse sample of participants, of hopefully thousands of participants.
And so is the aim in the future to have brain training games that work more on a personalized level, so you can look at an individual and think about what games would work best for them?
Exactly. Yeah, we think that that is the future for brain training, because there is just no one type of game that will work for everyone. We know that there are substantial individual differences in responsiveness to training, and we really need to take that into account.
Yeah, I don't know. It's made me think that brain training games.
I think so. I don't care what anyone says. It's got to be good. It's got to be good for your brain.
Anything that makes you think, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you don't do a lot of it, so
I need to download this game.
You definitely do, yeah.
That's it. Another one bites the dust.
Another one.
Not another one.
Another one.
I just want to say cowabunga.
Cowabunga, yeah.
Cowabunga.
Oh. I'm just glad you've finished that flipping game on your phone.
What, Diablo?
Yeah.
What's wrong with me playing
Diablo? Oh, I tell you what, constantly on it.
It rinsed the battery, though.
Yeah, well, I bet your screen time was through the roof.
Oh, yeah, I keep getting these notifications at sort of 9 o'clock on a Monday morning, and it says, you have spent an hour on Twitter this week, and then 5 hours on Diablo on a Tuesday or whatever. It's kind of depressing to see.
Well, now that you're done with the metaverse, I'm going to go take the Oculus back.
Are you back on it now?
I'm going to go, yeah, I'm going to go train up on pistol whip.
Whip. Is that it now?
Whip. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.